You are at the intersection of wealth, health, and happiness. Welcome to the Wealthy, Wealthy Life. Christina Wise, and welcome to The Wealthy, Wealthy Life, where I interview thought leaders who teach a countercultural approach to money, health, and happiness. Because great riches don't matter if you're sick, and good health doesn't matter if you're broke. Today, I tackle health wealth with Dr. Jack Wolfson. Dr. Wolfson is a board-certified cardiologist with over 13 years of experience as a physician. He's a heart expert who's treated thousands of patients over the course of his career, everything from prescribing pharmaceuticals to implanting pacemakers to performing nuclear stress tests. He finally found himself frustrated with Western medicine, in particular its emphasis on merely treating symptoms rather than actually preventing disease. He noticed that patients were discharged only to come back sooner than later. He met his wife, Heather, a chiropractor with a focus on nutrition and healthy living, who inspired him to switch gears. And together, they run a business called The Doctors Wolfson, where they specialize in holistic health solutions to prevent and treat chronic disease. Dr. Wolfson recently published an excellent book called The Paleo Cardiologist, an extremely interesting breakdown of some of the biggest myths and misconceptions about heart health and overall optimal health. Now he lectures all over the country on heart health and whole body wellness. In this interview, we talk about Dr. Wolfson's frustration with Western medicine and his transition to more alternative approaches. We talk about the universal myths surrounding cholesterol, fatty foods, and overall heart health. And we go deep into the truth about nutrition and lifestyle choices and how important they are to the health and heart and the whole body. Believe me, when it comes to cardiology, this is a truly eye-opening episode. If you or someone you know has had heart issues or has heart issues, you won't want to miss this. Enjoy. It is so much fun to be here with you today. Thank you for your time.
Thank you so much. It's always a pleasure talking to you, Christina.
I love, we met at PaleoFX and I watched you on stage. I thought your message was so poignant. You're such an eloquent speaker. And you just, what I love most about watching you, Jack, is that you spoke from your heart and you have such a good story. So you as a speaker were incredible because, like I said, just passion and your desire to get this message across just exuded out of you. But beyond that, what I loved also was your story, because you have quite a background about, you were a cardiologist, were really a leader in that field, and were completely convinced that that was the right methodology or philosophy for medicine. And you've really come full circle to this, let's say, other more alternative side. But it was through an introduction to your wife, your current wife now. So do you mind telling that story? It's such a great story.
Sure. Yeah, my current wife, my original wife, my only wife, Dr. Heather. And it's really an amazing story. And people love stories, right? Because I can talk all day long about, oh, you can, you know, use this nutrition and it's important to sleep and exercise and get sunshine. And all those things are important. But people love stories. And the story of how my wife and I met through just a random introduction, and how we were engaged a few months later and married a year later and a child a year after that, how things happened so rapidly for us, and how she opened up my eyes to the natural world. And because when we met, I was just a pill-pushing cardiologist doing angiograms, pacemakers, working in the hospitals, 8 days a week and staying up all night on call. And when I met her, she opened up my eyes to the fact that heart disease does not stem from a lack of Lipitor, Crestor, Zocor, or a lack of blood pressure drugs, or a lack of heart rhythm stabilizing drugs. There's a reason for it. And as doctors and as natural healers, we have to find the cause of that. So I soon became a doctor of finding the cause. And I've been so successful with that. And I started to change my practice. And ever since then, it's been an absolute whirlwind. It led me to create my Amazon best-selling book, The Paleo Cardiologist, The Natural Way to Heart Health. And practicing here in Paradise Valley, Arizona, people from all over the world fly in to see me. And I get to meet amazing people like you along the way.
Well, and I think part of the story that
that you told was when she first met you, there was an introduction, but you had a Diet Mountain Dew in your hand. Was that correct? And she's like, oh my God, what am I doing?
That's exactly correct. She tells a story that I had the Diet Mountain Dew was in the car. She says that there was a box of Krispy Kreme donuts in the back seat. That part I don't remember, but it's certainly possible. Because, you know, I was one of those believers that, you know, you do whatever you want and just take your drugs and you'll be fine. But that's just absolutely foolish nonsense. And that's certainly not in the literature at all, that you'll be fine. I mean, bad things happen to people that take drugs. It's in the literature. But no, it's true. I mean, I was on a path of disaster. And I also tell the story in the book about how my father, who was a famous cardiologist, he died at the age of 63 of a Parkinson's-like disease called PSP, or progressive supranuclear palsy. And seeing what my father went through and where the medical doctors couldn't help him at all, and then he died. But then opening up my mind to understand that there's a reason why this happened to my father, and it's poor nutrition and environmental toxins. And I was going down that same path, right, with the Diet Mountain Dew and with the bad food and not getting the sleep and not getting the sunshine and the physical activity and all the things that we talk about. I was going down that same path. And my wife saved me from destruction. She saved me from an early death. And I'm going to wind up being an old father and an old grandfather. And I think that's really the best reward of all.
So what is it, though, that you obviously were a staunch believer in what you were doing at the time? You believed that it did, you know, was maybe the best method to help people, especially with heart disease. But you were living this lifestyle that wasn't sustainable, that was probably guaranteed future disease or early death, like you just said. So what were you thinking at that point? I mean, now you think very differently, but what was the mindset?
Well, Christina, we're, as medical doctors, we're brainwashed. From the second we get into medical school, it's all about the pharmaceuticals. It's all about the invasive tests. It's all about CAT scans and MRIs. It's not about wellness. It's not about healing. It's not about, you know, real prevention. But, you know, myself, like every other medical doctor, you get into this brainwashing that is all pharmaceutical company driven. The medical schools are owned by the pharmaceutical companies, and this is what we're taught. So we're not taught, once again, we're not taught the alternative. So you never question the validity of kind of what you're doing. And it's sad, I mean, because you're talking about some really, really, really bright people that just, you know, from the get-go, they're not of the right mindset. And it was really an eye-opening, amazing thing. You know, for example, one of the first books I read is by a brilliant medical doctor by the name of Jonathan Wright, who's been in the natural space for 40 years. And his book is called Why Stomach Acid is Good for You. And just even the title, as a medical doctor myself, like looking at the title, wait a second, why stomach acid is good for you? What's he talking about? Stomach acid is terrible. We all got to take drugs to suppress our stomach acid. But then you look at that title and wait a second, of course stomach acid is good for you. That's why we have it. That's why every mammal and monkeys and gorillas and dogs and cats and lions and tigers have stomach acid to help us digest our food. And you start making these realizations and you're like, you know what? Everything in the human body makes perfect sense. And it's just because we are giving it the wrong things. And not enough of the right things that we develop symptoms and disease.
So what would you have thought at the time before you met your wife, and assuming you continued on that path, if somebody would have come up and said, hey, there's this naturopathic type medicine, alternative, integrative, functional, like some of these different more natural medical approaches or philosophies, when you heard these things, what would you think? Like, oh, those are a bunch of kooks, or they don't know anything, or how would you have responded to somebody trying to introduce you to some of these different concepts?
You're exactly right. And that's how the medical doctors think. They think it's all a bunch of hocus pocus. They think it's a bunch of voodoo. And that's the beauty of my book. I've got 300 references at the end of my book. So if you don't believe me, believe the 300 MDs, PhDs, DOs, and other holistic providers or other providers in general, not even holistic, that wrote the literature that I quote in my book. But there's a famous quote by the name of, or by Upton Sinclair in a brilliant book from the early 1900s from my hometown, the Chicago Stockyards, The book was called The Jungle by Upton Sinclair, and it's called, and the quote is, "It's hard to get a man to understand something when his job depends on him not understanding it. The medical doctors have no interest in hearing the truth. They are brainwashed a certain way. Their financial stability depends on them believing in that sickness paradigm, so they're not going to open up their eyes. So when they are reading the medical literature, as I did, and you're looking at the medical literature and you're saying, well, you know, what's this new drug? What's this new procedure? Oh, mercury and heart disease, boring. Lead and heart disease, boring. BPA from plastic and heart disease, boring. Oh, we can use B12 and folate to lower cardiovascular risk, and omega-3 fish oil for cardiovascular risk. Sunshine lowers cardiovascular risk. Vitamin D lowers cardiovascular risk. Appropriate sleep lowers. Those are all boring. I'm not interested in those. I want to know about the newest pill and the newest procedure. That is what I thought. That is what they currently think. And that is the system we need to change.
Okay, well, that takes us to, you say in your book, for example, to stop poisoning your body and you will have phenomenal health and energy. So when you, you know, quote, end quote. So what do you mean? Like, how are we poisoning our bodies without knowing it?
Essentially, you know, if they would have told us in medical school, two things cause all disease, poor nutrition and environmental pollutants. It would have changed the entire game. It would change the game of medicine as we know it, if they would just give us that foundation, but they don't. And when we talk about poisoning our body, yeah, we're talking about, you know, what are the foods we're eating and what are the things that we're exposed to in our environment that are leading eventually to disease. And what I try and do in my practice and in my book and in my podcasts and webinars and stuff like that is to open up people's eyes and say, you know what, the laundry detergent, fabric softener, dryer sheets, colognes, perfumes, air fresheners, these are all chemicals. These are all toxic chemicals that are destroying your health. The pesticides in the food are destroying your health. If you want answers, I'm going to give you the answers that the medical doctors are not giving you. You were not born to have disease. You were born to be healthy. You were born to live a long, happy, healthy life. And it is the poor nutrition and the environmental pollutants that are destroying it.
So you are a cardiologist by training. That was your old world, you know, in the I guess, cardiology field. And you're pretty accomplished in that field. Do you mind? I know you shared this with me offline, but again, I think this is really important because I think there's almost this maybe belief system out there is that a lot of you, you know, MDs and DOs and, you know, that are all board certified and that you couldn't hack it, or maybe you got tired of the insurance industry. So I'm going to go to this other side because I just couldn't cope. But it's not that at all. I mean, it's, you guys have fundamentally changed your view on what it means to be healthy. That's really, really almost radically opposed to more of the traditional Western approach to medicine in the way it's delivered today. So please share with everyone, like, what were you doing? Where were you? And what were some of those accomplishments?
Right. So, I mean, so make no mistake about it. I am a board certified cardiologist. I'm not a naturopath. I'm not a homeopath. I'm not a chiropractor. I am a board certified cardiologist who used to do angiograms, pacemakers, work the weekends, deal with the sickest of the sick, intensive care units, putting in lines, heart attack patients every day, congestive heart failure. I've seen it all from a cardiovascular standpoint. And I did that for 10 years. I was with the biggest group in the state of Arizona. I was a senior partner in a very, very, very lucrative cardiology practice. And I gave that up in 2012 to open up my own practice, Wolfson Integrative Cardiology, out here in Paradise Valley, Arizona, outside of Phoenix. And I was the chairman of the Department of Internal Medicine. I was the chairman of cardiology at Paradise Valley Hospital. I was the chairman of, or the director of cardiac rehab of that hospital. So I had a very, very, very successful, lucrative career going on before I decided to give that all up and do the right thing and practice in the appropriate fashion. So, and every holistic doctor has their story about how and why they left the old paradigm And I've never heard from anybody, and I've talked to so many of these natural holistic providers, never in any scenario was it because they couldn't hack it in the medical world. It's easy to hack it in the medical world. What's the big deal? You get on some insurance plan and they flood you with sick patients. I mean, there's no art to being successful as a doctor. I mean, 99% of medical doctors are successful, not because they're overly intelligent. It's because that's just the system of there's so many sick people and there's a shortage of healthcare providers that every single one of them is busy by default.
You walked away basically from a very lucrative career, getting a lot of, you know, successful, lucrative, but being highly recognized, and to walk away from that, that takes a lot of courage. How did you do that? Like, what was the turning point where you just said, you know what, I'm not a believer anymore. I can't in good conscience do this. And I'm guessing you more or less started over from nothing because this was so fundamentally different than what you were doing previously.
Well, you know, I was starting to attract a lot of holistic-minded patients in the old practice. So when I did eventually leave them and start my own practice, I had a decent foundation that has since exploded, and now my I'm booking out 3-4 months ahead of time in my practice because really there's I have no competition. There's no other cardiologists that are practicing like I am, and. And just like I said, you know, when your financial stability depends on it, it's hard to leave. And even for myself, I mean, listen, I'm married and 2 young children. The prospect of leaving and starting over and kind of giving up everything. I mean, my mother, for one, said, "You're absolutely out of your mind." I had friends calling me up, "You're absolutely out of your mind." The managing partner of the old practice, "Jack, you're out of your mind. You're leaving all this money." But you know what? There's things that are just as important, obviously, if not more important. And I always said that when I am on my deathbed and I'm surrounded by my family, that I want to be the person who did the right thing, that led by example and said, I gave up what I needed to give up. I made that sacrifice in order to do the right thing. And I'm very proud of it. Like I said, that being said, I'm very successful. I'm very successful in my practice because I'm doing the right thing. And when you do the right thing, the financial rewards will follow.
Yeah, and what's naturally happening, even, you know, my own story is that, you know, many of us do go down the more traditional path and we just get sicker and sicker and sicker till finally we're either introduced to more alternative methodologies and out of desperation, it's just like, well, I'll give it a try, like in my case. Or we start questioning the way, you know, the more traditional approach and then seek other places. But I see a lot of that happening as well, that, wow, this other thing isn't working. What else is out there? And I have an intuition that this more natural way of healing actually makes more sense.
Oh, most certainly. Most certainly. And it's very exciting. I mean, obviously, and I think the great equalizer these days is the internet, you know, and it's the internet and it's podcasts like you and I are doing right now that open up the eyes of so many people. And it's our conferences that we put on and the books that we put out, because, you know, let's face it, in the 1970s, what the medical doctor said was gospel. I mean, and you had no recourse. There was nowhere else to get different information, but the internet, you know, you can find out the truth. You can find out alternatives. In my book, I don't tell you, hey, listen, don't take drugs. I say, listen, this is the benefit of drugs. This is the risk of the drugs. And this is the alternative to the drugs. Now you're informed. Now you make a decision. But in the 1970s, and even today in medical offices, it's kind of like, I'm the doctor. This is what I'm telling you to do, and you're going to do it. Don't question me. Yet we have the ability to walk out that door and go find another doctor, to go on the internet and learn from very respectable people. People often kind of poke fun of so many people and say, oh, you know, you're an internet doctor, you're a Google doc, you got your certificate of being a doctor on Google. Well, you know what? There's some pretty good information on the internet from some pretty high powered, well respected, intelligent people. So, do your research, do your homework, and really be an informed patient and an informed consumer. That's what members.
Yeah, I think that's such a really important point to make, is that versus accepting maybe some of the advice from any doctor for that matter as gospel, is to question it and see if it feels right, or if this, you know, maybe seek another opinion or compare more traditional to an alternative and just trust your gut almost. But you, I mean, there's as a holistic doctor, your really specialization is the heart. I mean, that's your background. And I'm going to put up your book here for those watching, The Paleocardiologist. And first of all, this was a great book. I mean, I read tons of books, and really in my own desire to learn more about my own health and well-being and optimal health and, you know, just for my own learning. And yours is so well written and well done. And I just want to say kudos to that. One of the better books, you know, better, best books I've read, actually, when it's really trying to talk about these health concepts, but not get too in the weeds for the layman where it's difficult to understand, but not where it's too superficial or shallow, where you're not really learning. So it's a really good mix of the both. But I love this. And I'd really like to pivot a little bit more to talking about one word. But in chapter one, you open up chapter one and you say, quote, it's a quote. It says, if you repeat a lie often enough, it becomes truth. And it's an unknown as far as who quoted that. But I think there you're talking about this one word, cholesterol. So when I think, and I think most of all of us, when we think heart health or heart disease, we automatically think about cholesterol. And we've all been taught to believe that cholesterol is a bad thing, or at least LDL cholesterol is a bad thing. But so I'd like to spend some of our time really educating the listeners about what the hell is cholesterol and what is this mumbo jumbo. And can you shed some truth or shed some light and give us some truth when it comes to cholesterol that's probably a little bit counter to what we've been told?
Sure thing. So what we figured is that if we start off the book about cholesterol and we demystify cholesterol and we really explain what it is, then people will open up their mind and say, wow, I can't wait to read the rest of this book. If this guy says that cholesterol is good and debunks the whole cholesterol myth, and he proves it right there in the first chapter, then I can't wait to hear what he says about nutrition. I can't wait to hear what he says about sleep and relaxation and exercise and sunshine. And that's pretty much what we did. And when we talk about cholesterol, and when I speak from the stage and I have people raise their hands and I say, okay, I say cholesterol, what do you think of? What do you say? And people raise their hands, heart attack, stroke, plaque, blockage. No one thinks about cholesterol as vital. Can't live without it. All of our cells are made up of cholesterol. All of our sex hormones, such as testosterone, estrogen, progesterone, come from cholesterol. Cortisol for energy comes from cholesterol. Aldosterone for healthy blood pressure support comes from cholesterol. Vitamin D comes from cholesterol. Our digestion, from our liver to bile for digestion, is cholesterol. And once you say, and people realize, wow, the body makes cholesterol for a reason. Every animal species has cholesterol for a reason. And it's really an eye-opening statement. But if you ask cardiologists what cholesterol is, they don't even know what it is. They just, in their mind, they've been brainwashed to believe it's bad. Now, that takes us into chapter two, where we look at, okay, what are the things that can be bad? And that's where we can get into things such as LDL, often called the bad, and HDL, which is the good. But once again, all animal species make LDL and HDL, and they do it for a reason. But amongst the LDL, there can be good and bad. Amongst the HDL, there can be good and bad. And what I want the patients and the people to do is to seek out a provider who will order these super duper in-depth tests to identify their good LDLs, their bad LDLs, their good HDLs, their bad HDLs, to really do the in-depth testing to give us that information. And then let's come up with a plan so you have a lot of good LDLs to get the job done, because you need those LDLs. They are the shuttle that takes cholesterol and triglycerides and phospholipids and fat-soluble vitamins and CoQ10. They shuttle them around the body. LDL and HDL are also part of the immune system. These things are genetically there for a reason, and we want to optimize them, not minimize them.
So you're telling us that LDL can be a good thing or a necessary thing, I guess, is a vital thing. I mean, our body produces both for a reason.
It is necessary. It is vital. And that's why we have it. Whoever built us gave us that for a reason. And if we're going to shut down the production of it with a statin drug, we better have a very good reason why. And in my mind and in my world, there is very, very little benefit to statin drugs, and there is a better way in every situation.
Well, let's break that down a little bit. So in the more traditional approach, your previous life, how would you look at cholesterol? How would you maybe read some of the basic labs? And what would be your protocol or your treatment method?
Well, my practice was just like any current cardiology practice. The cholesterol-lowering drugs, the statin drugs, Lipitor, Crestor, Zocor, should be in the drinking water. That is the approach of the cardiologist. They all take the drugs, they all sing the praises, and they're wrong. They're wrong, and I discuss that in my book, where once again, I don't tell you not to take the drug. I tell you that if you take the drug, your benefit is this. And if you don't take the drug, your risk is this. That's a pretty small benefit. Well, now that you've informed me as a patient as far as this benefit, yeah, I'm interested in learning a way that I can reduce my risk from here to here. That's what I want. I want that kind of dramatic risk reduction. And the cardiologists do not offer that with their drugs. And that's in the literature. It's in the literature. And that's what I quote. And now you're an informed patient, so you decide. You want to take the drug? Okay. As long as you're informed, then that's up to you. If you want to go, you know, through chemotherapy with extremely little benefit, but you need to know the facts. And once you teach people the facts, they reject the medical paradigm when you fully inform it, and that's in the medical literature. When you fully inform a cardiology patient, they say no. They say no, but when you scare the patient and you don't give them the facts, then they will go with your plan.
So someone, a patient would come to see you and you're doing certain tests on them. So I'm guessing, are they already to the point of seeing you, or seeing a cardiologist at that point where they're feeling sick or something's wrong? Or are they going with their GP, getting a cholesterol test, the GP says, oh, this is high, let me send you to a cardiologist. And either way, I guess it doesn't really matter. But what would you have looked on that, on those lab reports, as far as, let's say, this is too high, and then I need to prescribe a statin?
Well, pretty much all general practitioners, prescribe the statins like they're candy, prescribe blood pressure drugs like they're candy. So they're not typically referring out to cardiologists for garden variety cholesterol and blood pressure issues. When things get complicated, when cholesterol numbers are extraordinarily high, they may refer out, or when blood pressure is difficult to control on a few drugs, they refer out. They usually refer out to cardiologists because if someone has symptoms, someone has chest pain, someone has shortness of breath, someone has stroke-like symptoms, then they'll refer out, heart rhythm issues, palpitations, things like that, they'll refer out to cardiologists. Myself as a cardiologist, sure, I see plenty of people now that have had cardiovascular events, they've had heart attacks, strokes, congestive heart failure. But of course, the passion of any doctor would be to prevent that. I love seeing the people that are 65 that have had events, and I see a lot of those people. But any one of us would rather see a person when they're 35 to prevent those things down the road. And the person to prevent it is someone like me. I feel very confident, Christina, in tooting my own horn and saying, I am the best preventive cardiologist on the planet. There is no one like me. There's no one who's doing what I'm doing. And that's why my practice is so successful and people come in to see me, because once again, it's a... there's no competition. Everybody else is practicing in the pharmaceutical space, and they're not doing the in-depth testing. I mean, I do so many in-depth tests, from heavy metals to intracellular nutrients. What are intracellular vitamins? I look at food allergies. I look at leaky gut syndrome. I look at in-depth markers of inflammation and vitamin D and in-depth thyroid and blood sugar. Medical doctors aren't doing this. And anyways, it's been very rewarding, very exciting. And obviously, you can tell my passion about what I do.
And you're doing naturally. I was trying to compare, so as listeners, that what they might hear when they go to their GP, or if they're having, to your point, more serious issues, to a cardiologist, which so many people do these days. And so this is probably what would happen through that approach, as opposed to when they come to see you. If they were to compare, you know, if they went the traditional medicine just to learn that approach, more or less they're going to meet with their cardiologist, they're going to be prescribed probably a statin and or some sort of surgery, and that's it.
Right.
More or less. I mean, those are the two options. You're probably very unlikely to walk out of there with not one or both of those if you've had any sort of palpitations or some of these heart issues, as opposed to, and that's what you did every single day for 15 hours a day in your old world, was prescribe and procedure. The two P's. Versus now, if they come to see you, the same person, the same human being, the same expertise and, you know, your accumulated knowledge and of everything you know today, but versus, as opposed to the old Dr. Wolfson, what they would have experienced, to the new one, what would happen now?
Well, you know, Christina, my initial consultation, we have two, I guess, levels. One is an hour and 15 minutes, and the other is 2 hours. Most people that come in from out of town, we encourage them to do a two-hour office visit. In my old cardiology space, the average cardiologist sees a patient every 10 minutes. Who do you want to, you know, to rest your health with? Who do you want to take care of you? Do you want the 10-minute cardiologist who offers you pills and procedures? Do you want the holistic cardiologist that'll go after causation and spend 2 hours doing so? You know, it's a totally different ballgame. And frankly, those other cardiologists, all they need is 10 minutes because they've only got a pill to give you. So it doesn't take long for them to pattern and recognize someone's symptoms and prescribe the pill, to prescribe the test that they quote unquote need. So they don't need any more time because they don't have anything to offer. They've got no nutritional advice. They've got no lifestyle advice. They've got no advice about the importance of sleep and relaxation and physical activity and getting sunshine and taking evidence-based supplements. They don't have that. So
you're going to be doing all these different lab reports and spending a couple hours on this initial consultation as opposed to 10 minutes. And you're not necessarily, I mean, you might look at, you will be looking at cholesterol, let's say, as one marker, but you're going to be looking at all sorts of things, but you're going to be really looking underneath that. Like, why is the cholesterol markers? Why are they off? What is maybe the causation? And so what are you looking for? One, and number two, what do you usually see, or is there a pattern of what you usually see?
Well, you know, once again, coronary artery disease is not from a lack of drugs. There's a reason for it. And, you know, coronary artery disease is not from a lack of Lipitor, Crest, or Zocor. We have to find the reason. So we start looking at the nutrition. We start looking at their lifestyle, the environmental toxins and pollutants and the stress in their lives. And once again, the sleep and the amount of sunshine that they're getting. And we look at the pharmaceuticals. We look at their gastrointestinal tract, their bowels, you know, and look at that overall health picture. And then we use the labs to really help us kind of dial in how at risk they are. What is their amount of inflammation? Do they have this concept of the leaky gut, where things get into the body that don't belong? And how do we repair that leaky gut? How do we fix that? And in doing so, we will naturally lower inflammation. And then what we eventually come up with is, what is the person's caveman cholesterol or cave person cholesterol? If Christina was walking around in Eastern Europe 25,000 years ago, what would she look like? What would her cholesterol levels be? And that's what our goal is, because your lipid levels are different from mine, are different from our best friends, are different from our, you know, from everybody. Everybody has a different perfect level for them. And that's what we're trying to figure out. Because as we said, we need cholesterol to do so many different things in the body. And we want to have the perfect amount as if we were that person from 25,000 years ago.
So meaning if I'm over 200 or if everybody's over 200, they should be prescribed a drug.
Right.
Meaning so, we're all a little bit different.
Well, and I think it's definitely in the literature that, you know, when you're some people, their total cholesterol is 220, and that's perfect for them. Some people it may be too high. Some people, frankly, it may be a little bit too low. And by getting on the right nutrition and the right lifestyle, then we will figure out what your cholesterol numbers are. If we can't get you perfect, if there's certain challenges in your life you can't overcome, that's a fantastic opportunity for evidence-based supplements.
And how often then do your patients come in to see you? And let's say you see some of the cholesterol markers that are less than ideal, that are showing some signs that something's broken or not quite working optimally here, which means it could likely turn into later stage disease of one, you know, type or another. So what would you prescribe?
Well, typically what we do is we do that initial, you know, let's say, 2-hour consultation, and then we come up with a game plan. We institute the game plan, but we also do the tests at that point. We meet up to go over the tests. And then I typically like to test 3 months later to see how we did, to see how the plan worked out. Now, some people we may need to see in the interim and need to see them, once a month. When people come in from out of town, often these interviews can be done over the phone or just like you and I are by video right now on the internet. But typically I like to see my patients at least once a year. The more often they see me, the better their health is going to be. The quote unquote sicker they are, of course, the more frequently they're going to need to see me.
And so I'm guessing then that part of your protocol, as opposed to, since you're not trying to fix this with the statin, you have a different protocol that you're more or less going to follow. And I imagine the first place, or one of the first places you're going to start is looking at the nutrition or the diet, correct?
Well, that's,
let me ask it differently. How important is diet to heart health?
No, diet is extremely important, you know, and once again, if you look at all the pillars of health, you know, think about our nutrition, think about our water intake, think about the environmental pollutants that we're around and minimizing them, making sure that we get those 8 hours of sleep, making sure that we stay active, making sure we get sunshine. The sun has been vilified for so many years, yet the sun is the source of life on this planet, and we need plenty of it. Those with the highest levels of vitamin D have the lowest risk of everything. How do we get vitamin D? We get it from sunshine. It's a very simple equation. Diet is very fundamental, foundationally, and, getting people to understand that if we eat in a similar fashion to how our ancestors did, that's how we're going to achieve the best health, and getting people educated on the fact that sugar and certainly the gluten-containing grains and a lot of the dairy products and anything that's artificial and synthetic has to be out of our lives. And the more it's out of our lives, the better our health is going to be.
Well, and when my father was diagnosed with diabetes, which now he's completely reversed through diet, by the way, because he was on the, you know, diagnosed with diabetes and was given the pill. And what the doctor suggested to him was to do margarine, vegetable oils, stay away, wow, a low fat diet, you know, I mean, it's shocking. And I was trying to say, Dad, no. And of course the doctors are, you know, that they're gods. So what would I know as opposed to the doctors? And he finally came around and just diet alone, changing his diet to more of a paleo type organic healthy diet. He's not on any of the drugs. His all of his markers are completely normal as a 76-year-old man. So anyway, that's my own sort of anecdotal story. But in this, even like that personal example I just gave you, is it still believed in the more traditional approach that low fat, or let's say high fat, produces cholesterol or raises cholesterol, and that we should stick to more of a low fat diet?
Well, there was a recent meta-analysis where they looked at hundreds of thousands of patients, and they said, is saturated fat linked to heart disease? And it said, no. There are hundreds of studies that say saturated fat and fat in general is not leading to heart disease. Eating cholesterol-containing foods is not linked to heart disease. What causes heart disease is sugar and carbohydrates. So the governing bodies, the American Diabetes Association, the American Heart Association, they are in bed with the food manufacturers, Kellogg's, Nabisco, Quaker Oats, to perpetuate their lousy, sickly food pyramid that continues to make people sick, that keeps them on the drugs, that keeps them buying their lousy foods, and they don't care about our health. When you go paleo and you get rid of the sugar and you get rid of the carbs, just like your father found out, you get rid of the diabetes. It's a real simple equation. People can test their blood sugar. You can go drink a bottle of olive oil and your blood sugar won't budge. You go eat a piece of bread and your blood sugar jumps. That's it. That's it. You can go eat a dozen eggs and you know what your blood sugar will do? Nothing. Nothing. And diabetes is the worst diagnosis anybody can get when it comes to heart health and brain health, because when you have diabetes, you are at much higher risk of heart attacks, strokes, kidney disease, dementia, and cancer. So it's not coming from our saturated fats from coconuts and from grass-fed free-range meats and from wild seafood and olives. And it's not coming from avocados, and it's not coming from walnuts and almonds, all these, you know, fat-laden foods. It's not coming from that. Those are extraordinarily healthy. It's in the literature, and I've been seeing it in my patients for years.
And then what about, so that's diabetes, how important, like what about diet or fat to cholesterol to heart disease?
Exactly. There is no link whatsoever between saturated fat and heart disease. There's no link whatsoever to cholesterol intake and heart disease. American Journal of Clinical Nutrition. If anybody wants the references, I'll be happy to provide them. They're all, you can you know, search it yourself and find the information. This is in Maine. This is the biggest nutrition journal in the world. It's the American Journal of Clinical Nutrition. It's right there, black and white, multiple studies. There's no debate. There's no debate. Anyone who believes otherwise, that they're listening to people from the 1970s that sold us a false bill of goods to get us to buy their disgusting products, and we did it, and they're all rich, and we're all sick.
Well said. Then if a high saturated fat diet isn't clogging the arteries, what is?
What clogs the arteries, obviously, is anything that's artificial, anything that's irritating to the body, all the pollutants and toxins. But from a food standpoint, it's the sugar. Of course, it's the simple sugars that we find in cookies, cupcakes, and ice cream. It is the grains, especially the gluten-containing grains, wheat, barley, and rye. It is the foods that are sprayed with pesticides and chemicals. It is the dairy products, and if people are going to have dairy, please do it with raw dairy. When I talk about the benefits of eating meat and seafood, I'm talking about free-range, grass-fed, healthy animals. I'm talking about wild seafood. I'm talking about pastured chickens and pastured eggs. I'm not saying go to Burger King and get a double Whopper, hold the bun. I'm talking about doing things the right way, and you will achieve extraordinary health.
Excellent. So it's our high carb diets and sugar diets that are really the culprit to heart disease and not high fat. But then you've said, you keep using the word saturated fat. So a lot of our listeners are really learning and are newer to some of this. So I'd love for you to help educate everyone that is listening as to what are the differences, because we can talk about a high fat diet, but a lot of the vegetable oils are not healthy. In fact, the canola oil is in most packaged foods, and worse, soybean oil and these different types of oils that we're starting to maybe hear these things, and we're thinking we're doing good with switching to maybe some oils, but those oils aren't necessarily healthy either.
Yeah, I agree with you. And that's, you know, pretty clear in the literature as well. So when we cook at home, we like to use animal fats, whether it's pork lard, beef tallow, duck fat. We love to cook with those. We love to cook with coconut oil, which is a magical miracle oil that was falsely vilified in the 1970s in order to push the soybean oil agenda from my home state of Illinois, where the whole state is all growing soy, genetically modified soy, at that, heavily sprayed with pesticides and glyphosate, otherwise known as Roundup. We're not talking about Florence Henderson, 1970s. Canola oil, Wesson corn oil. We're not talking about those. We're talking about the oils such as olive oil. We're talking about the coconut oil and then the animal fats. That's what we prefer to use in our house. And that's the stuff that's heart healthy. But I do also want to say quickly, you know, that nowhere in our conversation so far have we mentioned genetics, because we are not genetically built to have heart disease. We're not genetically built to have cancer. We're not genetically built to have dementia. We're genetically built to be healthy. But if you dump garbage into our body, we're going to get garbage results.
Exactly. And I think it's even another place to be careful of, because even if we are starting to adopt some of these newer principles, we're still going to the grocery store in the middle aisles. And if it says gluten-free, maybe we're thinking it's healthy. Or if it's paleo, labeled paleo, we think, oh, great. But it really goes back to reading the labels, because many quote-unquote paleo packaged goods or gluten-free packaged goods are still laden with different types of sugar or maybe bad vegetable oils like soybean oil or something. So is it getting back to as much whole food, real food as possible?
Obviously, you know, that's the foundation of our paleo pyramid, is vegetables. We recommend every morning our triple combo, which is our daily green superfood and beetroot powder. That's what I do every morning for breakfast, as does my wife and our two young children. Paleo kind of gets a bad rap because people think they got to eat meat five times a day. But once again, the foundation in our pyramid is vegetables as often as possible. But everybody has to eat some degree of meat and seafood on a weekly basis in order to achieve optimum health. And then, of course, the nuts and seeds and the eggs and the avocados and the coconuts and the olives and fruit when in season, not to overdo it on fruit. But you're right. I mean, all these other gluten-free grains that we see, the additives, the preservatives, the sugars, often I say it is gluten-free, but it's still carb. It's still carbolicious. And the term carbolicious is not trademarked by me, but it probably should be. Because that's clearly what it is. And you're right, they're putting soybean oil in there, genetically modified canola oil in there, which is the Canadian rapeseed. They're putting some nasty stuff in these products that need to be avoided. So, and there's a lot of supplements that contain those products in there as well. When I have patients that come in, I tell them to bring in their supplement bottles, and I wind up with a garbage can full of products for these people because I threw out all the things that contained garbage in their supplements. And one of those heavy offenders is soybean oil. Those go right in the trash.
Thank you. And to circle back, I really want people to leave maybe with a different way of thinking about cholesterol, even a better understanding, so that when they go to their doctor, they're a more informed patient or potential patient. So what would you suggest if somebody is going in to see their GP and getting sort of the basic tests that your GP might be ordering that's in the normal range? What questions do you advise they ask, or what response might they give if they go to the GP and the automatic response is, let me put you on this statin prescription?
Yeah, it's a real tough situation right now because doctors don't like to be challenged. They don't like to be questioned. They don't want to have a conversation with you about your health. They want to give you their pills on their agenda and then move on to the next patient. That's how they're trained. That's how they behave. Sure, you may find a diamond in the rough then may be willing to have a conversation with you. But most patients are not equipped to go in there and try and educate their doctor or to get a different opinion out of their doctor. It's just, it's a fruitless endeavor that no patient should have to suffer that. Go find a holistic provider. Go find someone like me or come out and see me. Go find a chiropractor that is open, naturally open to this kind of thinking, that'll work with people. And the more we demand natural providers, the more they will be produced, the more things will change. But to think you're going to go into your garden variety MD and educate them about cholesterol, you're not going to. They're not going to change their mind based on what you tell them. You're just going to get into an argument. You don't need that stress in your life, so get it out. I don't advise that. Find a holistic doctor, work with a holistic doctor, and that's really all you need.
So maybe the takeaway there is if you do go in and talk to whatever medical professional, that if they're automatically prescribing some prescription within 15 minutes, that might be the red flag. Like, get the hell out of there and at least look for some other potential solution.
There's always an alternative. There's always a natural alternative. Listen, if you're in the midst of a heart attack, go to a hospital, okay? But for prevention, medical doctors have nothing. They have nothing. This is for the world to see. The medical doctors have zero. Zero. So seek out a holistic doctor, educate yourselves, read my book, get informed, listen to podcasts like this, and we're going to change the world.
Absolutely. And you do give so much great information in your book. And one thing you do offer that this is really important as well is you give a list of the different labs or markers to test for. So if people are looking for maybe a holistic doctor, what might they be asking? And I know that the profession itself is looking for more or less the same thing, and that nutrition's important, looking for inflammation, looking for maybe hormones, maybe some genetics. They're looking at these, you know, these different labs to try to make certain interpretations for to either reverse some disease or almost guaranteed future disease, or help move more towards optimal health. But what labs do you really recommend as far as people getting started?
Well, I think that, you know, there are some amazing companies, and this is really kind of in-depth testing where you look at in-depth lipid analysis, in-depth inflammation. You can look at genetic markers. You can look at vitamin D and thyroid and blood sugar and heavy metals and leaky gut and food sensitivities and hormones and cortisol. And it really goes on and on what the possibilities are. And frankly, insurance covers a lot of this stuff very well. This is not, I'm going to go drop $25,000 at the holistic doctor. A lot of this stuff is covered very well. And it's very exciting to give that information to patients.
And how much is inflammation responsible for disease?
Well, inflammation is really just a marker that is associated with disease. So inflammation is a sign of disease. It's a cause of disease. But we have to take a step back and say what's causing that inflammation, and that's coming from poor nutrition and environmental pollutants. So that's what's causing the inflammation. So we need to shore up the diet, shore up the environment, and we'll do better.
Yeah, well, my longtime listeners know that in 2013, I actually almost died from heavy metal poisoning. And when I finally found a holistic doctor who was listening, really part of that story is that I'd gone down the traditional approach and nobody could find what was wrong with me. I was getting sicker by the day. My hair was falling out. I couldn't sleep, but I couldn't stay awake. I mean, I was in terrible condition. I looked anorexic. I went down to like 90 pounds. And no doctor could figure out what was wrong. Then they finally said it was even in my head and it was totally psychological, even though my body was deteriorating. And what did they do? I mean, I was on so many pills by the end of it, desperately taking any pill that the next doctor would give me because I was so desperate to feel better and not knowing any different, but continuing to get sicker and sicker over month, almost day over day, until finally I met with a functional medicine doctor, a holistic doctor, and she'd asked this question through like this 2-hour process of what you do with your patients. And she was really going back and asking, well, tell me about the last 6 months and what have you done? And I said, well, and she said, have you had any like dental work? And I said, yes, I got all my amalgams taken out from a traditional, you know, a dentist and had an implant put in and all these different things. She's like, oh my gosh, let's do a heavy metal test. And so sure enough, I was to the right in the red of so many heavy metals. Of course, mercury being one of the really toxic ones, but mercury, cadmium, lead, thallium, cesium.
Cesium, right. Thallium, tungsten, tin. I mean, on and on and on. I mean, these are things that have no physiological role in the body. And when they don't belong in the body and they are in the body, they interfere with bodily functions. Aluminum is a major player there. So you're right. I mean, it's, doctors, we need to be detectives. And when someone like you comes in, if I can't solve someone like you, I consider it a failure on my part, it's very easy for medical doctors to say, well, you know what? It's all in your head. Yeah, it's all in my head. There's metals in my head and it's screwing up my life. Figure it out and get them out. I was of that same mindset where it was like, well, you know, if I can't figure this out, then it's obviously it's your problem. It's something psychological. But now, once again, even if it's psychological, it is psychological, but there's something that's causing it. And that could be, once again, environmental pollutants, toxins in the body, poor nutrition. Listen, David Perlmutter wrote an Amazon, a New York Times bestselling book, Grain Brain, How Grain Affects Your Brain. So when you have brain issues, look no further than grain and certainly the gluten components of wheat, barley, and rye. It's simple. I'm not the only person out there saying this. There's a lot of brilliant physicians that are in the same boat.
Well, and it's the holistic approach is what saved my life, like literally, because I wouldn't have lasted much longer. And oh, by the way, mercury does make one feel crazy. So there was a crazy attached to it. But, yeah. So much that one, like a traditional approach, never would have looked for heavy metals. And I know you talk a lot about metals, for example, and other toxicity and chemicals that are in our toxic, we live in these toxic environments and we're polluting our bodies with things like metals that come from these different sources. But if we're not testing for it, it's really difficult, like you said, to detect what might be the source of someone like me or others that are so sick. And there's not necessarily an answer for it with what, that's obvious through more traditional approaches.
So mercury is well known, as a toxin. Like we said, aluminum, all these things do not belong in the body. Aluminum is found in so many different places. It's in the air, it's in the cookware and aluminum cans, and aluminum utensils. Aluminum is all over the place and it absolutely destroys the body. It does not belong in the body. There's no physiological reason for it. It interferes with bodily function and we suffer the consequences.
Well, all right. Well, we're reaching the end of our time together. And thank you so much for sharing your knowledge, your expertise, your passion to help people become healthier. And I always end, a couple things I want to say. As I'm drinking, I have my hydro flask, but in my hydro flask, I have my superfoods.
Love it.
My daily greens and my beetroot powder. So I am such a fan of these. Do you mind very quickly just talking about these? And
sure.
I just make me a pitcher every day and almost drink this as my water. Fill it with my water bottle every day.
What a great promotion, Christina. Thank you so much for that. They're great products. They're all organic. They're housed in glass. The daily greens is just a combination of fruits and vegetables and fiber to give us a boost in the morning. The superfood is the chlorella spirulina. Spirulina is fantastic when it comes to normalizing lipids. Chlorella binds up those heavy metals that we just talked about, so you excrete them out the other side. And the beetroot powder is just so many things, and it's a source of nitrates, and nitrates are converted eventually into nitric oxide by the body, the body's main vasodilator. So we're normalizing blood pressure, we're improving circulation, we're improving athletic performance. In some ways, it's kind of like nature's Viagra for all the men out there. or the women that are interested in getting their men on natural Viagra. So it's really phenomenal. But these are foods. They're part of the food budget. They're safe for anybody and everybody, whether you're pregnant, whether you're breastfeeding, whether you're a child, you're 105 years of age. We created these for a purpose, and it should be really the foundation, and to do this for breakfast, that triple combination at a heaping teaspoon, it's a little over 100 calories. Put it into water, and just a beautiful way to start off the day. Do it before your coffee. Do it after your coffee. I don't care. Just get it in at least once a day.
Yeah, and it's delicious. So, and there's no sugar.
Yeah, there's a natural, sugar obviously that comes in beetroot, but there's no added sugar, of course. And listen, none of this stuff tastes like a hot fudge sundae. But what we're providing is we're providing health. We don't put any flavors in our products. We don't put any stevia. And of course, there's nothing artificial in there. It's just food that's in our products. And if you want to flavor it, that's up to you. We don't feel that you need to. Superfood's kind of interesting because especially this time of year, stone fruit season, right? Nectarines and peaches. We love cutting up those nectarines and peaches, adding some macadamia nut oil and some hemp seeds and sprinkling in the superfood and mixing it all up. And wow, what a delicious, delicious breakfast. It's so cool.
Excellent. Well, I complete all of my podcasts with one question, and we've done so much of this today. So we'll see if you can come up with something we haven't already talked about. But what part of my goal with the Wealthy Wealthy podcast is to do some myth busting. There's so much conventional wisdom out there that's just wrong. And, the misconceptions are killing us, one way or another. So, where you sit today, what is a misconception, a myth out there that's believed to be true that you see all the time and you just want to bust it?
Well, we've mentioned it a couple times, but once again, it's the importance of the sun. For since the dawn of the earth, the sun has been shining. Human beings have been exposed to the sun forever. We need sunshine. And of course, it's been vilified, and the doctors tell us that the sun causes skin cancer. And they tell us to put on all the different sunscreens. Well, the sunscreens are loaded with chemicals and cancer-causing agents. They block the formation of vitamin D. We wear tons of clothing. We avoid the sun. We wear sunglasses, as opposed to our eyes are the windows to the world. And we depend on that solar radiation coming in and not only creating vitamin D, but creating things like melatonin that help us sleep. But once again, our ancestors were in the sun. How can the sun be detrimental to our health? Animals are in the sun. Plants and trees are in the sun 24/7. Whenever the sun is shining, they're in it. So I'm not telling people to go out and get sunburned, but I'm telling people that 10 to 15 minutes of peak sunshine on a daily basis is good for the mind, the spirit, the soul, and certainly the cardiovascular system. It's just so important. So make sure you get your sunshine.
Well, that's perfect. Thank you so much, Dr. Wolfson. I appreciate your time. Thank you for everything you shared with everyone today, just out of, generosity and truly desire to make the world healthier. So thank you.
My pleasure, Christina. It was great to talk to you.
I hope you gained some new insights about heart health from my conversation with Jack. If you enjoyed this episode, I recommend you pick up a copy of Dr. Wolfson's book called The Paleocardiologist. You can find a link at wealthywealthy.life/podcast. Next up, I stay on the health side of Wealthy Wealthy, where I interview Dr. Lane Freeman, a friend and brilliant functional dentist. What is a functional dentist, you may ask? Well, you'll have to listen to find out. Here's to a wealthy, wealthy life. I'll see you next time.